As is the case each time I come, we come to the Lord's table and celebrate the supper that he has given to us as his bride. And this morning as we come to the table, I'm encouraging us to do an image check. An image check, and that check is primarily based on the first verse of the fifth chapter of Ephesians. But I'll direct our attention to the 25th verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I'll read for us from that verse through the second verse of Ephesians chapter 5. So if you would like to read along in the Bible there in the pew, it's found on page 1040, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning our reading in verse 25 and reading through the second verse of chapter 5. Hear now God's infallible written revelation to us as I read these 10 verses. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we pray that your Spirit would be with us in a special way as we indeed have an image check to the greater glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, or as beloved children. What did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? No, don't answer that question. What do others perceive of you when they think of you? When you've gone to an airport and you're going to be met by a complete stranger, how do you identify yourself to that person? It's easy for me, about 6 feet tall, white hair, trim, white beard. That pretty well sums it up. When you answer the phone and you recognize the voice, immediately you have an image of that person on the other end of the line. Or what happens when you're calling the help desk and there's another ethnic voice? Pretty soon there's an image, isn't there, of that person on the other end of the line. Paul challenges us this morning with an image check that, at least for me, takes my breath away. And I presume it would take your breath away as we meditate upon it. It's not so much, what do I look like? The question is, do I look like God? Do I look like God? And so it shouldn't surprise us that in this letter where Paul sets forth in those first three chapters what it's like for us to come from darkness to light, to come from death to life, to come from being alienated to being friends with God. It'll start in that second half of the book, therefore walk. And then here at the beginning of this fifth chapter, therefore, imitate. And the Greek word that is translated as imitate is one of those sort of, well, it's mimic. Mimistis. And growing up, if you heard the word mimic, you heard the word monkey see, monkey do. Now, that's not an evolutionary thing, I hope. But when we mimic someone, we behave as they behave. And what does Paul say? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You see that phrase, as God. Mimic God when it comes to forgiving one another. And I trust we all remember what it was like when the kindness of God was manifested to us in such a way that what? We repented of our sins. And we laid hold of Jesus Christ because of his tender heartedness manifested unto us. Mimic God in our tender heartedness one to another. And throughout the entire Old Testament administration of the grace of God, Yahweh over and over and over again says unto his covenant people, mimic me by what? By being holy as I am holy. Being so set apart unto me that as people see how you live your life of love and faithfulness before me, the nations will be drawn to me. It's a marvel at your love one for another in the holiness that you live because of your union with me. Paul uses this word with respect to himself in his letter to the Corinthians. If you want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14 and hearing what God has to say us in verses 14 through 17. Paul says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. You see what Paul does. He sends his son Timothy, who has observed and caught from Paul, his father, what it is to live out a life of faith in Christ Jesus, to those who come to know the Lord through Paul there at Corinth, who ought to be following Paul as their father as they become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. He says, here's Timothy. He's learned how to follow me, imitate me. Now you follow and imitate him. Remember sitting in a worship service in the Beaver Valley, not Happy Valley, in the Beaver Valley a number of years ago with a prominent minister of the gospel in a church in that area. And in his message, he said, how many of you here would have others follow you? Stand up. And I began to stand up, and I quickly sat down. No one else was rising to his or her feet. And I thought to myself, have they never read the Apostle Paul? A whole congregation ought to be standing. An image check. An image check. Therefore, be imitators of God. Who in our lives are we saying, follow me? Hasn't that been what we've said to our children? Isn't that what we say to people who begin to ask us about what's peculiar about us? How many times have you been able to write or to say the same thing about ourselves? Follow me as I follow Christ. Mimic us. And not just individually. But we're going to see how the Apostle Paul speaks about this with respect to churches. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote in chapter 1 of the first letter in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. But notice what he says. With joy of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit not being quenched in our lives, but in affliction, joy. Mimic God. When that's the case, we find in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verses 7 and 9, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. And then back to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, where Paul would add to what he's already said about their ability to mimic Paul and those with him as well as the Lord. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. Churches aren't independent, but churches mimic each other. John simply puts it this way in his third letter, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil," right? "But what is good." Why? He who does good is from God. But he who does evil has not seen God. How can one mimic what he or she does not see? By grace, through faith, as the Holy Spirit illuminates our eyes to behold the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Certainly in His glory as we gather to worship, but in His work of salvation in each and every one of us, as we come to know one another all the more deeply in our fellowship and in our communion with each other. How are we doing? How are we doing with an image check so far? Let's say we're doing fairly well. But we must appreciate the motive that God gives us for being mimics of Himself. Because without this motive, we really aren't mimicking God. Paul says we're to mimic God. The New King James and the King James says, as dear children. And it is that word from agapao. So I think a little better to say beloved children, loved ones, agaped ones, dear children. Allow me to suggest that he adds that little three-word qualifier. Because, let's face it, if you're like I am, we encounter many kind people in this world who don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know how a person stands with the Lord. But I'm not convinced that every time I'm sitting at the intersection waiting to make a turn and somebody waves and says, "Oh, go ahead of me," that act of kindness is necessarily saying that person's a Christian. Or have you ever been standing in the checkout line in a grocery store and you've got 5 or 6 items in your hand and the lady in front of you says, "Oh, please go ahead of me." "Oh, how kind." Or what about the time the red lights go on the car behind you, and you see them in the mirror, and you're pulled over, and you know you've been going 15 miles over the speed limit, because you're in a hurry for a good reason. I don't know that the person's a Christian or not, but the police officer says, "Today, I'm not going to give you a ticket." Kind. Kind. Or have you ever been hurting, and someone expressed tenderheartedness to you? And you know that person's not a Christian. Because they've made it very clear to you they're not a Christian. What happens? When you've offended someone and you've asked their forgiveness and they've extended it and they refuse to hold it against you, and you know they have no faith in Jesus Christ, the doctor, David Martin Lloyd-Jones, comments, some of the most unchristian people in the world today are men and women who are living upright, moral lives and are satisfied with themselves. And that's the acme. They're very good people. I know them. But the Apostle Paul's teaching is a thing about which they know nothing at all. Yes, there are people who believe that everyone can call God their Father. Paul says to us in the 14th and 15th verse of Ephesians 5, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Therefore, since God is the Father of everyone, all we have to do is live upright and moral lives, and we're Christians. If we vote for candidates who espouse the moral standards we embrace, it doesn't matter what their testimony about Christ is, does it?" Well, that's for another sermon. Paul wrote to us as beloved children. What's significant about our being beloved children? How does he start this letter? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to" what? Adoption. Adoption, beloved children of God. We've been adopted as sons by Jesus Christ according to the good purpose of his will. We remember what Paul means when he refers to us as children, as blessed children, as dear children, as beloved children. We are adopted children into the family of God. "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God." We're the children of God by our adoption. We were born in the family of lies. And our father was the father of lies and is the father of lies. And we've been adopted out of that lifestyle. We're no longer Jacob, but we're now Israel. Adopted children of God. It's our Heavenly Father whom we mimic, like Father, like Son and daughters. Because we're citizens of God's kingdom and members of His household. Again, Lloyd-Jones puts it succinctly, as Christians, we're not merely believers. We are believers. We are believers. You cannot be a Christian without believing. But the Christian is not merely one who has believed a certain body of doctrine. Nor, as Christians, are we merely forgiven. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Thank God. There would be no hope for us if we're not forgiven. The world thinks of Christianity as a moral code imposed upon them. And at the end of the day, the world hates it. We, on the other hand, are imitators of God. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. It makes me wiser than my foes. As your precepts are my way, because we are children of God. We are God's people. Praise the Lord for so great a salvation. But that's not all. We're beloved children. And just how beloved are we? While we were yet strangers, aliens, enemies of God, He loved us. And He sent His one and only Son to die the death that you and I deserve to die. And when Jesus was there in that garden, oh, Father, let's find another way, not my way, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Oh, thanks be to God that we're His beloved children, such that Jesus died for us, so that we are forgiven. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Why do we seek to bear God's image? I pray that it's not being good for goodness' sake. I pray it's not that we would be good enough that we can come to the table of the Lord. I certainly pray that it's not so that we can look at those around us and say how much better we imitate Him than they do. And I certainly trust it's not so that we don't have to worry about someone coming up alongside of us to disciple us, to correct us, to share with us where we may have walked off the path. I trust it's not because we fear that happening to us. I trust we come because we're beloved children of God, and our right standing rests in His finished work in our behalf. It welcomes us into His presence, and it welcomes us into one another's presence, so that we know how to live candidly with each other, just as we live candidly with our Heavenly Father, who knows us far better than we ourselves, but forgives us, tender-heartedly deals with us, and never rebukes us when we seek His wisdom and we seek His forgiveness and we seek His grace to mimic Him. So if I were to end this sermon this morning with a call to come to the table as we used to do it in the so long years ago days. Well, yeah, it was. It's been a half a century. We'd get up and we'd come forward to a table and sit around a table together and take the Lord's Supper. And so I would finish the sermon by saying, those who are willing to go out into this world and say, follow me as I follow Christ, get up and come to the table. And that minister of the gospel in the Beaver Valley would have been shocked if people had appreciated the depth of their salvation in Jesus Christ when He said, how many of you here this morning are able to call others to follow you, stand up. Would to God the whole congregation stood. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as we have this image check, and you remind us of our standing before you in Christ Jesus, that we will take seriously the admonition, because of the great salvation that we have, not so that we can earn it, not so that we can be better than those around us, not so that we can avoid being confronted with sins in our lives, but because we're your children. Forgiven, broken vessels through which the light of your grace would shine. Help us, our Father, to be what we are because we are in your Son. Follow me as I follow Christ. Better yet, follow Grace Presbyterian Church. Mimic us because we follow Christ. And, oh Father, cause us to cry out in those places where we have so failed to reflect the salvation that we have for your forgiveness and for the forgiveness of each other where necessary. The praise and glory of your name, and for our greater conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.